You're listening to the Community Mindfulness Project. The Community Mindfulness Project is a collaboration between Community Wellbeing North Canterbury Trust, Mindfulness North Canterbury, and Logan Smythe and Associates, bringing free science-based mindfulness and wellbeing courses, workshops, and podcasts to North Canterbury. Made possible by AIA Vitality.
Whatever you do in your life day to day, if you bring awareness to it, so if you know what you're doing as you're doing it, you're actually practicing mindfulness.
I'm Jess Davidson, and with me today is Kate Brandon Adams from Mindfulness North Canterbury. Kate is a registered mental health nurse and mindfulness teacher who lives in rural North Canterbury. In her 27 years of practice, Kate has specialised in holistic approaches to mental health and well-being, addiction recovery, and mindfulness. In this third episode of the Community Mindfulness Project, Kate will be talking about things you can do every day to practice mindfulness that don't involve formal meditation but still give you loads of well-being benefits. So Kate, in this episode, we're talking about ways to practice mindfulness in everyday life. To become more mindful, do we need to spend a lot of time sitting still in meditation?
Yeah, so I think the important thing to know is that there's lots and lots of ways to practice mindfulness. And so if we kind of think about mindfulness as strengthening a muscle that we already have but that we're strengthening it, is there's so many different ways that we can do that. And we certainly don't need to be sitting and we certainly don't need to be still. We can do it in all sorts of different ways. So to recap around this neuroplasticity is remembering that we're training the brain to develop these certain qualities. And so we can certainly do that through a number of different ways, not just as a meditation or a formal practice, but also just generally through our day as it is. And of course, as we've talked about, is that we're all capable of doing this. This is a capacity that is innate within all of us. So some of the ways that we can practice mindfulness is certainly what we call formal mindfulness practice, aka mindfulness meditation, is really useful because that's a bit like taking your brain to the gym. Yeah, it's like when you carve out a bit of time and you do a whole load of bicep curls and it's making that change in your brain, so to speak. But of course, formal mindfulness practice doesn't need to be sitting and it doesn't need to be still. We can do movement practice, we can do walking practice, we can be doing a whole range of different practices. It also doesn't need to be necessarily a long amount of time. Right. So that can really put people off, you know. It's just like, you know, that they feel they have to sit in some funny position, they've got to be there for ages and not move. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, and in some ways that's why it's really helpful to come to courses and retreats where there's a teacher there where you can get some help and some ideas and some ways to practice. So we can also practice throughout our days by doing little mini practices.
Okay.
Yeah, so we can just do little really, really short ones that can be beneficial wherever we are during our day. And there's also lots of benefits from actually what we call informal mindfulness practice. And basically what we mean by that is being aware of what you're doing as you're doing it. Basically, that means that anything then becomes a mindfulness practice. Anything. Right. Anything. So we don't need to carve out any special time to practice mindfulness informally. We just turn whatever we're doing into a mindfulness practice. So if I'm walking from here to here, I could do it totally mindlessly. I could be thinking about what I've just done, where I'm about to go to, what I'm having for dinner, whatever. Or I could be doing a mindfulness practice and you wouldn't know. So I could be really aware of my feet lifting and placing and the movement of my body, and I could be really, really present with what's going on in my experience, and I would be practicing mindfulness.
Right.
Yeah. So this is great news, huh? Yeah. So it means that we can, anything basically, during just your regular day, can become a mindfulness practice. What some of the kind of key ways to do that are, number one is to be aware of your body as you're doing something. Mm-hmm. The body is a bit like a doorway to the present moment. And so whatever we're doing, if we're doing it with awareness of the body, we're often more present with what we're doing. Okay. I particularly like being aware of the soles of my feet because they're kind of the furthest point away from my brain.
Yeah.
So
bit tandy.
Yeah. So, you know, being aware of where your feet are, what's touching you, things like that, what your posture is can be really, really helpful. And then, of course, your senses. So noticing sounds, noticing what you can see, and actually just whatever you're doing, really slowing it down.
Mm. So, Kate, can you tell us some more about ways we can practice mindfulness in our day-to-day lives?
One of the first ways that we can bring more mindfulness into our lives is actually by starting to notice what we're already doing mindfully. Often there are things that we're already doing in a mindful way. As I mentioned before, it may be kind of something creative, it may be some form of exercise, maybe it's walking the dog, listening to music, whatever it is, maybe being with animals out in nature. It's often a place where people feel more mindful. And then we can also notice when we're not so mindful. So places where we're just, you know, somewhere else, basically. And then those can be opportunities to then practice more mindfulness, to bring more awareness to those activities. So if you notice that when you're in the shower, you're actually having conversations with two or three other people that aren't even in the shower with you, that leans itself to an opportunity of like, I could make this a mindfulness practice. Because you're in the shower, you know, we'd want to enjoy it, wouldn't we, really?
Definitely.
So the shower can become your place of mindfulness, especially for those kind of like busy mums. You know, it's kind of like the escape hole to go to the shower. Mm. Feeling the touch and the temperature of the water, noticing where your feet are, the smell of the shampoo, you know, really making it this really mindful experience through the body and the senses. So you haven't carved any time out to do that. That's just what you've been doing. And I recently had a conversation with someone saying that, you know, hanging the washing out, that can be a real great place to practice mindfulness. You know, you're outside and you can really pay attention to each bit of laundry that you're putting up and the feel of the earth or whatever under your feet. Or maybe it's driving your car.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I've had that experience where I've kind of got somewhere and thought, oh, how did I get here? I don't remember this journey. Yeah. Driving the car can actually be a great place. And especially if we have to do driving as part of our work, then actually, again, we can then transform that into a mindfulness practice. Mm. Whatever you do in your life day to day, if you bring awareness to it, so if you know what you're doing as you're doing it, you're actually practicing mindfulness.
I'm Jess Davidson, and today I'm with registered mental health nurse and mindfulness teacher, Kate Brandon Adams, talking about things you can do every day to practice mindfulness.
So another way that we can bring mindfulness just into our day-to-day lives is by doing these little mini practices, and I mean mini, yeah? So it's I like to call it the power of the pause, so literally just pausing in our days. So if you're willing, Jess, are you willing to
for sure
to have a little practice with me?
Okay.
So for this practice, you can have your eyes open or your eyes closed. Just imagine that you know, this is just you in your day, wherever you are. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're just going to literally stop and pause whatever we're doing. And just notice if that's difficult, if that's a resistance to that. Just tuning into the breath just as it is. Just know that you're breathing. And we We're going to open our awareness and become the observer of our bodies, what these feel like in this moment. And also noticing what's happening in the mind, whether it's particularly thinking about a topic. Maybe it's darting around like a busy puppy. And also noticing what else is here for us in the way of emotions, how we're feeling right now. So we're just observing and noticing what is here. And then again, moving our awareness outwards to the sounds that are here. And finally, opening the eyes, taking in the space and the objects around us. And then continuing on with awareness for the rest of our day.
Wow. That actually takes you right to that place. I physically felt like I was picturing myself at work.
Yeah.
And I could see everything. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And all the detail. Yeah. All the things that you just, you know, like pens and highlighters and things that, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it again, it's just taking that time to stop. And, you know, sometimes it can feel quite difficult to stop, especially when we're really busy.
Yeah.
And we feel like, oh, I've got time to stop, I've got to keep going. But actually what people find is that they then, when they carry on after they've stopped, is that they're actually able to do things maybe better because they've just had that few moments to stop.
Yeah.
Rather than just kind of carrying on as they were. So really, mindfulness is a lot about remembering.
Right.
It's not that we can't do it. It's about remembering to do it in our day. And that's where some of the formal practice or the meditation is really useful, because it makes it kind of much more kind of up in our consciousness to remember. So it can be really helpful, therefore, to use kind of cues and prompts in our environment. You can get apps that kind of have bells on them and things like that, or a sound that goes off every 20 minutes or an hour or whatever. And those can then be opportunities just to do what we just did, just to stop in our day, take a few breaths, check in with ourselves, know what's going on, and then move on with what we're doing. So it doesn't need to take long. It doesn't have to be a phone. It may be that you wear a piece of jewellery, or you've got a pebble in your pocket, or a post-it that says pause or stop, you know, something that reminds us that actually it's useful to stop during our day. The other thing that we can do is we can start developing associations with things. So it may be that there's certain activities that you choose that are your mindful activities, and that you do them really slowly and with lots of awareness, whatever those are.
So what about, Kate, if I'm having a stressful day, what do I do then?
Well, actually, it's a perfect time to practice mindfulness,
okay,
isn't
good it? Good to know.
Yeah. But as we said, it's often the hardest time to stop, because a lot of that kind of forward momentum of like time pressure and I can't stop. But actually, most people find that's the best time to do those little mini stops throughout their day, because it just lets the nervous system settle, you know, just for those few moments. What I find really useful when I'm having one of those days is actually, if it's possible, is to get outside.
Okay.
You know, even if you're at work and you just pop outside, you know, just to get to see the space around you. Look as far as you can into the distance. If you can't get outside, look out a window. So what that does is it helps the brain see the bigger context. Yeah. That, you know, when we're really stressed, we're kind of in this really sort of tight sort of place, aren't we, where it's all kind of right here.
Yeah.
And so what we can do is we can open out our awareness to the sky, to the furthest distance, and that can literally give that stressful experience a bigger container to exist in. There's also this really fascinating phenomena called the overview effect, which was talked about by you know, the people that were kind of, you know, going up to the moon and looking down on Earth. And we can even imagine that and practice the overview effect of imagining looking down on ourselves and the whole of everything else going on around us. And it just gives this kind of sense of context of what's going on, and knowing that, you know, it's difficult, but it's also being held by this kind of bigger context around us.
What about when I'm at work? Obviously, you mentioned that, but that's a key time to do it too.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course it depends on what your work is, whether you work at home, you work in an office, you work outside. But, yeah, again, anything can be a practice depending on the environment that you're in. And as I mentioned before, you know, anything that we do, if we slow it right down, so even if it's kind of on the computer, is that we can just spend that moment of just, you know, noticing where our feet are, noticing where the chair is, and just, you know, if we're typing, just slowing it down, feeling that, you know, the sort of tippy-tapping of the keys can be really, really helpful. One of the things that I often do when I'm at work is that I will use any time that I need to walk anywhere as an opportunity to practice mindfulness. Because often we have to kind of walk from here to, you know, the photocopier or the wherever we're going. And so that can be the time where instead of wandering off in your mind, you can actually bring all of your awareness into the soles of your feet and just walk and know that you're walking. Yeah. So that can, you know, be really accessible, wherever we are. The other one that I really like, and that's whether you're at work or wherever you are, is don't underestimate the benefit of actually just listening to sounds.
Right.
Just noticing for a moment. Yeah, so it's, especially if we're really struggling with being stuck in our heads, it'd be really helpful just to move attention to the sounds that are here. There's something really kind of spacious around that can be helpful.
What about when I'm with the kids or my partner or my family?
Yeah.
That is a triggering time for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that I always think of those situations as being advanced mindfulness practice. Yeah, that's where it really, really, the rubber hits the road. So, I think, you know, the one that I always think of with kind of that interpersonal stuff has got to be mindful listening. So what I mean by that is often when we're listening is we're kind of doing something else at the same time. So we're, you know, it's that classic, like you're kind of trying to cook tea and, you know, the kids are trying to talk to you or the husband's trying to talk to you, and you're kind of not really focused on one or the other. And so the mindful listening practice can be really a beautiful practice, but it can also be really nourishing for relationships as well. So what I mean by that is that when someone is talking to you, so a family member or whoever it is that's talking to you, is that as best you can, is that you really pay all of your attention to what they're saying. So it may be that you come and sit down with them or you stand with them, and you're really not just listening to the words, but you're actually looking in their eyes and seeing the person behind the eyes and what they're really trying to say. Yeah. And so, you know, we can observe the kind of the body language that goes with it. And we're also noticing our own reactions that are going on and acknowledging those. And maybe if we can, just noticing the urge or reactions and just letting them be kind of parked in the car park while we really listen to what's being said. So really what we're doing with the mindful listening also is that we're listening to the person like we've never heard them before. When we live with people, you know, it's just like, oh, we know what they're going to say and how they're going to say it. And, you know, it's just like, it's something really lovely about what they call beginner's mind, which is kind of like, oh, you know, really listening to it like this is the first time that you've heard it. It's worth giving it a go anyway.
And I'm sure it'll be very much appreciated by your partner and child as well. You mentioned apps. The use of apps to remind you to be present and to pause. are they useful for mindfulness in general?
Mm. Yeah, I certainly think they have their place, definitely. From my experience of people that have used them is that they can be a great starting place and probably more importantly, actually an adjunct to doing a course or working with a teacher. So they can be really useful, but it's important to remember that they don't actually replace the benefits of working with a teacher. The benefits of working with a teacher is that they can then actually individualise the practice to each person because right. we're not all the same.
No.
And our nervous systems aren't all the same either.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and particularly if you've got stuff going on, maybe more around sort of pain or trauma or, you know, anxieties, it's really useful to work with some sort of mindfulness teacher to be able to make the practices work for you so that you can get the most benefits from them, because of course it's harder to get that obviously from an app. The other thing that you can't get from an app is what we call as mindfulness teachers a process of inquiry. So inquiry is when we actually help the person doing the practice to inquire into their experience of the practice and what they noticed. And this is where people get insights, where they start to notice habits and patterns, and that they can make changes in their lives. And that's much easier to do if you're doing it with another human being.
Mm.
Yeah. And of course, actually just practicing with other human beings. I run a regular practice group, and people often are saying they just love actually doing the meditations, doing the mindfulness practice with other people.
Mm.
Yeah, not just on their own. And so I think, you know, that they all have their place, and it's about finding what works for you, what makes it easy, what makes it accessible for you.
Mm. Well, Kate, this has been enlightening. I think I can go home now and listen to my child with more mindfulness, as challenging as that might be at some time. So thank you so much for all your advice, and I'm sure people will find it very beneficial.
Oh, thanks, Jess. It's been great.
This podcast is produced by the Community Mindfulness Project in association with me, Jess Davidson, and Compass FM. The Community Mindfulness Project is a collaboration between Community Wellbeing North Canterbury Trust, Mindfulness North Canterbury, and Logan Smythe & Associates, bringing free science-based mindfulness and wellbeing courses, workshops, and podcasts to North Canterbury. Made possible by AIA Vitality.